Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Fuse, the insurance marketing software that skyrockets retention, boosts policy per customer, and makes sure clients love your agency without you having to hire more staff, programmers, or technologists. Friends, if you haven't had a demo lately, visit www.agencyrevolution.com and schedule one right away. Buckle up and be prepared to be amazed. Again, I want to welcome you to this episode of the podcast. I have a juicy conversation for you, filled with some insights about the future and some really important insights about today's customer. My guest is Joseph D'Souza. He's the founder and CEO of ProNavigator and is, quote, using artificial intelligence to reinvent customer service and drive growth in the insurance industry. You may be wondering, why do I want to pay attention to artificial intelligence now? Because agencies around North America are installing artificial intelligence technologies into their agency now. And my guess is that in great likelihood, at this very moment, while you are talking to me, some bot is talking to a prospect or to a customer in somebody else's agency right now. So I want to encourage you to pay careful attention to Joseph's insights on the dramatic shift of the balance of power, his insight that the consumer has the power now, and it's a challenge for us to be relevant to that. So he shares his insights on what agents need to do to be relevant in a surprising world. You might be surprised to hear what the research says about artificial intelligence and human satisfaction with bots, with effective bots. And Joseph talks about the emergence of other new technologies and how they affect the modern insurance agency today. So without further ado, I want to invite you to this conversation with my colleague and guest, Joseph D'Souza. Joseph D'Souza, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm really great. Thanks a lot, Michael.
All righty. So, you play a kind of an interesting, or hold kind of an interesting role in the industry, in that you are clearly deep in it, fully invested in this industry, attempting to make it better, and yet a relative newcomer to the industry. So part of what I want to get out of this conversation with you is something of your perspective. Like, you still have that fresh perspective on, you know, look, you can probably still see the ocean without being in the water, right? And those of us, you know, and I could include myself, been in it for 25 years, you know, we sometimes got to step up and look. And so that's what I'm looking for from you. It's like, let's gain that, a little bit of that perspective. So, before I start asking you the hard questions, I'll ask you the easy one, the softball, a little bit about yourself, in part because I think that your background is fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. So, interesting background. So I grew up I'm from Goa in India, which is a very small Portuguese colony on the west coast of India. Culture is very similar to Portugal, dialects, food. I ended up running and building an events company there, working with a lot of the big hospitality brands in Mumbai, Pune. I immigrated to Canada in 2012. My kids were getting older and, you know, thought that, you know, this would be the best place. My wife is from Canada, so moved back to here. And one of my best friends has been in the insurance industry for his whole career. And we started talking about some of the challenges that are in the industry coming from his perspective as well as me from, you know, my yeah. background, operations and technology. And I remember a kind of a trigger event where I had received my policy renewal, and I called my carrier. This was my former insurance carrier at the time, mm-hmm. and had a question that I was looking for an answer to. And I remember being kept on hold for an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, come on.
and I took a screenshot. Come on. I still have that on my phone today.
Hey, feel free to forward that to me. I definitely would like to blog about that.
Yeah, I'll have to fuzz out the number not to call anyone out. But yeah, so an hour and 35 minutes, I have a screenshot and I carry with me every day. And I just ask myself, like, why does such an important, impactful sector still rely on decades-old technology when it comes to, you know, the customer experience?
Hey, pause for a second. When you say decades-old technology, which technology are you talking about?
Well, the ability to, when a customer needs an answer to a question, be able to get that information in a way where I don't have to call in and wait for hours.
Okay, so the decades-old technology you're talking about is pick up the phone and call.
Yeah, I have to pick up the phone and call.
Got it.
Number one. Number two, when I do call, I have to authenticate. It takes a while to know who I am, pull up your systems because they're working in so many different systems. If I'm coming in from a different channel, if I'm emailing or chat, sometimes the view of the customer is different. You know, you're working with so many different systems. And just the easy way for me to get information of what I need without me having to go through that arduous process. And I remember thinking, like, there's got to be a better way.
Well, and were you comparing that to other experiences you had in other industries?
Well, Uber promises a car is going to arrive in 3 minutes, and it does.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And consumers like myself, is why can't we get this kind of predictably great experience when it comes to our insurance? Mm-hmm. And I remember my friend who ended up being my co-founder at the time had kind of warned me, hey, you know, you fall into insurance, you're never going to leave. Like, that was kind of, and I think that's very true, right? Like, you get into the insurance industry.
Jeepers, is that what happened to me 25 years ago?
But I love it. Like, it's some of the best people I've met, friends, colleagues, just really good people.
Yeah.
And intentions are good, right? Like, it's just professionals that are.
Well, I think you're kind of getting to the heart of the issue. When I was looking at getting into the industry and thinking about accepting a position in the industry, I did reach out to some colleagues in the industry. And one of the things they said is, you're going to love it because it's a relationship business, right? Yeah. And like you just said, they're really great people and the intentions are good. Okay, but now I want to circle that back to your original story and that whole metaphor. So one way, maybe an old school way, that people think, oh, relationships means, you know, it's people talking to people. It's not people talking to machines or machines talking to people. So let me throw that one at you. How do we deal with that, you know, potential conflict between the strength of this channel, particularly being a relationship business, and the utilization of technologies which are not person to person?
Yeah, and that's like with the rise of artificial intelligence,
right,
machine learning and automation, that question keeps coming up to the forefront. You know, will machines replace that? Will machines take away our jobs? Will machines replace that relationship I have with that person?
Uh-huh.
And from our point of view, and many, many insurtechs that are in the space, it's all about freeing us up as individuals so that we can spend more quality time. We can be there when it really matters. We're not having to answer repetitive questions that, like, what are your hours or where do I go to find this, which is frankly unnecessary conversations to have, so that you as an agent can actually have time to spend in relationships and in things where it really matters.
Right on. Okay.
Well, I don't need to speak with a human person just to find that information when I can get it self-serve, right?
It doesn't necessarily, that's necessarily the stuff that makes the relationships deeper. I knew that was a softball question to you because I had to bat that question like a million times when I was CEO of Agency Revolution, you know, one of the issues we dealt with some of the old schoolers was, you know, we're a real relationship agency. So that means in the old school way of thinking, I think, you know, it's about phone calls and whatever, showing up at the chamber and the Kiwanis and, you know, that, right? And the face-to-face meetings and so on and so forth. And not everybody was ready to accept the fact that there are ways to deliver real value, a real sense of delight, a great meaning, and without doing it just on a technology known as the phone or face-to-face. There are other technologies that can deliver that stuff, and that does strengthen relationships and can deepen relationships. So in your case, it's the Agency Revolution technology, you know, really was designed fundamentally to strengthen and deepen existing relationships. Yours, some of that, and some of it is used for lead generation, or at least the facilitation of lead generation.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not that we, you know, clearly you don't want to weaken relationship. You want to strengthen relationship, right? But not every phone call strengthens it. In fact, there's a survey that I call on from time to time from MBlox. It said that 84% of insurance consumers don't want to hear from their insurance provider on an inbound phone call, right?
Right.
And so, you know, the phone's not as the magic that sometimes people think it is. And it's clearly a very expensive methodology to communicate certain kinds of communication. So I'm going to get off my soapbox and let you get back on yours.
Well, I want my agent to help me manage risk, protect my assets. I don't want to necessarily find out where do I need to go to pay this bill.
Yeah.
When I want to pay it on a Saturday at, 5 p.m.
Right.
I want to be able to just go and get it done, or ask Alexa, or just do it in an automated way. It's interesting because, our virtual assistants, and we'll jump into that technology, but some of our clients have taken, customized the assistant to be an actual digital member of their team. And when you go to their team page, you've got all your different agents.
Yeah.
And then you have, here's a virtual assistant, and she's here to help answer common and consistent questions. And then if she can't answer anything, she's going to transfer it over to us, and we're going to help you out. And this is just one way of us providing better service to you 24/7 on your schedule, on your demand, when you want it, when it's convenient.
Do they give her or him a name?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
On. And do they...
That it's a virtual assistant, we're not trying to disguise it as being...
No. I think that's part of it, right? I mean, it kind of makes it fun, especially if they're being totally transparent about it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we're all for that. So it's really human plus AI or human plus machine learning working together to provide a better on-demand experience in this world we're living in. Create that frictionless buying experience.
So
right? Because customers have all the power today, right? Like, we're moving towards infinite supply and options, and the buyer, meaning all of us, have all the power, all the decision-making in the world. So we have to provide not only the policies and products, but how we're selling, how we're marketing, how do we provide that the best customer experience possible that operates in a way that consumers are demanding today.
All right. So you made a comment. That comment is too big to pass over. Because I think we could argue that it's, perhaps a game changer, that it's a phase change, that everything is different from, at some point in probably the last 10 years or so. You said customers have all the power now. I think if we went back in time, we would probably discover that in this industry, customers were not that powerful. They were largely confused that what happened inside the industry was mystifying, difficult to understand, sometimes frustrating, and often not loved. And so the experts, like doctors, right? It could easily be argued doctors, where they have a lot of power in the relationship now. But I think a lot of insurance agents would say, gosh, you're right. Consumers have a lot more choices, and we really need to validate us as a choice in their mind and their heart. So what do you think? Is it the digital communications and the internet that makes you say that? What validates your observation that customers have the power now?
So it's a combination of things. I mean, we'll start with just generally the shift in the world that's happening between, you know, companies who, you know, own the supply, who used to have all the value in the world, and now those that own the demand have the value, right? So like the cabs, as an example, they used to own the supply and they were valuable, but now Uber and Lyft own the demand. Airbnb and the Marriotts and the Walmarts and the Amazons, and you go down the list of you know, the shift happening between those who used to own the supply to now where the demand is.
Yeah.
And then you look at the insurance industry, and you've got, you know, the directs coming out with, you know, their on-demand pricing and buying, and you've got the, you know, the Lemonades of this world, and you have those shifts of you know, consumers saying, hey, well, I could go there and just get it from my phone in 30 seconds. Why do I need you? And so I think that's part of where we are today, where some of the things that are repetitive and consistent and can they be done in a faster, better way, but freeing up agents to deal with things that are more complex and the risk and the advice and the choice. Whereas that's what agents need to be spending their time on, not the repetitive, hey, well, what's this going to cost me? Oh, here's an estimate of your, like, they have to go through and say, okay, let's start with your name. Okay, now let's get the info. Like, do they need to do that? Can a system help you get that information at your fingertips when you want it? And then say, great, let's get an agent on the phone to talk through the risk and the options and choice that you have now. Some of our clients, as an example, they're serving, so one of our clients works in the film industry and the photography industry. And, you know, their work time and their schedule of when they're open is very different from when their buyer is looking for insurance, because these guys are working on weekends and part-time and they've got other jobs.
Yeah.
And they want to get a rate and figure out, is this an option? So can a virtual assistant be there 24/7 to help give them prices, understand, ask questions, and then when they need help, then great, here's an agent, we'll get you on the phone and give you your different options.
So in a moment, I want to dive into what a virtual assistant, what it can do, what it can't do, what its limits are, what its capabilities are. But first, I want to look at that or get your insights on consumer sentiment about artificial intelligence. Okay, so I'm going to start with an anecdote from my own life. Probably in the last quarter or two, I was in the middle of a project and boom, I realized that I needed to call, I think it was my bank. And I just needed the answer to a very, very simple question. And I was just hoping I could punch in my digits and get it, right? And instead, they transferred me to an associate. I couldn't do it that way, so they transferred me to an associate. And I remember like very quickly thinking, oh no, darn, now I need to talk to a person. My thought was, I know it's going to take three or four times as long, and we kind of need to go through this a little bit of a silly social dance where he or she pretends that they're going to build rapport with me, and then I've got to answer some questions out loud and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then when I was done, I thought, oh, you know, I felt a little bit guilty because I was thinking, wait a minute, I like people. Why didn't I want to talk to that person? It's because at that point in time for that category, that relatively simple classification of information, I wanted speed. So, you know, and maybe I was paying more and more attention to what chatbots were doing and what their capabilities were. And in this case, I thought I'd rather have a conversation with a machine than a person. So that's my anecdote on that. Now, what I'm curious about is how do other people feel about it? What is the artificial intelligence industry discovering about how, you know, like what human sentiment is about those relationships?
Yeah, and just to your point, speed, like speed and convenience are king, right? Companies that can save you time are going to win.
Yeah. Now that being said, are you open to a conversation about that?
Sure.
Right. I mean, because in some ways, I mean, there are other values too. And I think the independent agency channel you know, in general, we're not that good at speed, even when we speed up. But we excel at certain other values, like delivering peace of mind, delivering confidence, right? So so what I'm throwing into the mix is that there are other values. Speed is one of them.
Yes.
Fair enough? Okay. Yes. And I don't think this channel is built for speed. I think it's built for wisdom or expertise and knowledge.
Right.
And other channels are more built for speed. But I think, you know, if we don't pay attention to it and try to travel at the pace of the world, then we're going to frustrate those people who really do want to find value in the independent agency channel. Boom. That's my second sermon of the day. I'll get off that soapbox. So how does the consumer base respond to chatbots and artificial intelligence communications, and has that changed over time?
So this is a question that I always thought initially when we first started the company, how would consumers react? And we went with the approach that be very upfront that this is a virtual assistant,
yeah, right,
the chatbot.
Right.
And you know, the interesting thing is we noticed when we went live, like the very first time we were monitoring, seeing how things were going, at the end of the conversation, people would say, thank you. Thanks for your help.
Yeah.
Or I appreciate that. And I was so fascinated by this because, you know, like if you think about it, when's the last time we said thank you to an app on our phone for showing us the weather, or thank you to Microsoft Word for
generally not. However, the other day I did say thank you to my Google Home. You know,
exactly.
I said, okay, set a timer for 2 minutes because I was doing some exercises. And I said, and when it's done, I said, okay, Google, thank you. And she said something like, that's a delightful way to, you know, respond.
Yeah.
Or something. So,
because language and communication are just so ingrained in who
right.
we are as human beings.
Yeah.
That by humanizing technology in this conversational way,
uh-huh.
you know, I think we have a real opportunity to kind of reimagine how we connect with our customers.
I got a question for you. Do you think those people who said thank you, did they think they were in conversation with a human, or did they know they were in conversation
with
AI?
Well, that's why I preface it by saying, being very clear that it was a virtual assistant and a chatbot.
And
so
they
all
knew.
All of our products,
okay.
they well, again, like Maybe. Within reason, but like you said, you say thank you to Google Home and Siri and Alexa,
right.
and these devices are just becoming more and more mainstream. And so we're being conditioned to if we need something, ask Google. Say, hey, Google, or ask Alexa. And as we start to do this more and more, and you think about this voice world, and which is where we're playing in as well,
yeah.
how important is it to make sure that our brand shows up in that world where, you know, in a way that we're comfortable with, we're interacting every day in our homes? What does that technology look like for insurance agencies to
right.
live in that world?
Uh-huh.
It's just the convenience of voice and integrated into our cars. You think about podcasts, right? You know, podcasts have exploded because, you know, I can passively listen or talk while I'm doing something else. I'm not doing that now, but, you know, when voices, Alexa's already being integrated into our cars, and, you know, could our brand show up in that world? What does that look like?
All right. I do have one more question before I want to dive into the specifics of it, and how your solution is engaged in agencies and engaging insurance consumers. I'm going to assume that the development, that the maturity of artificial intelligence, it probably has a trend line like Moore's law, right? That its capacity does not, and is not going to proceed in a straight line. It'll be a curvilinear trend line that's going to, at some point, there'll kind of be an inflection point, and it's going to look like it's really going up. Is that
right?
Am I making sense? So, again, sometimes people around the Google Home, you know, people sometimes I'll notice, oh, they get frustrated because it can't do this or can't do that. And my sense is, you know, give it 6 months and it'll probably do that, and give it 12 or 18 months and you'll probably be scared about what it can do.
Right. I read that Amazon has, I think, 1,500 developers working on Alexa.
Oh, no.
Sure some of the things that weren't there.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
Plus Alexa is working on Alexa.
Exactly. exactly. Yeah.
So is that the pretty much the case that, as an industry, I don't know how old artificial intelligence is, but, it seems relatively young. And it seems like now it's relatively ubiquitous. And I can't help but think that, like most things in the digital world, its growth and its capacity, kind of like does that doubling every 12 or 18 months.
Yeah, so the algorithms and some of that technology has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But has only really been able to see good results in recent years because of the, the decreased cost in compute power and the increase in data to train these models. Now, new algorithms have come out, but really the value is in, and the reason we've seen such an uptake in the usage of AI and machine learning is the fact that, the compute power is just cheaper now to run,
and
I've got the data to train it. But it's so because we're 100% in the insurance vertical, that's all we do. We don't do any other industries. The value is in the way you train these models and how you train them on specific information for that vertical, whereas we're not trying to build a the Siri for everything. We're trying to build a Siri for insurance,
right?
Where the language of insurance, the complexity of insurance, is specific for the industry.
Well, let's dive into it. Tell me what ProNavigator what it can do and where you think it's going.
Yeah, so I guess just off the core technology, which is a subset of AI, is called natural language processing.
Uh-huh.
And what natural language processing does is if I say a phrase, just an example, hello, we know the intention of that phrase is greeting. And so we essentially, we built this all in-house. We're not relying on any third party. We have our in-house natural language processing proprietary platform. And we train this on hundreds of thousands of insurance-specific conversations. Because it matters, because off-the-shelf NLP natural language processing system performs poorly when parsing insurance information, because they're trained on general e-commerce, finance, healthcare, or just news articles or the web.
Yeah.
But it doesn't understand the complexities of insurance.
Oh, so you could like buy an NLP package off the shelf and kind of plug it in?
I mean, typically you're leveraging a third party system,
right,
like
of some kind.
Okay, AWS,
interesting. All right,
and you're licensing that and trying to train
didn't
a
know.
Model
All right, didn't know.
It.
Okay, got it. So you're building yours in this environment only.
Yeah. So we've spent extensive resources and development time designed to train it specifically for. I mean, not just insurance in general. You've got P&C, you've got life, you've got health, you've got benefits.
Yeah.
And then within the insurance, you've got sales, service, underwriting, claims. And each of these models can process structured and unstructured information. So structured information is, we're pulling from a specific database and we're, it's categorized and tagged. Unstructured is, hey, my name's Joseph. I live in Toronto and I've got a Honda Pilot. How much is that going to cost? And that phrase, I already know, okay, you're trying to get a auto insurance quote. Without me implying and even saying that phrase, we know that what you're trying to do. We know your name. We know your location. We know the vehicle type. And so that's so important in the way that we fine-tune these models specifically for, and even abbreviations. Hey, I need what is CGL?
right,
or I'm looking
right.
for CGL insurance. Oh, commercial general liability, here's how it goes, right? So
yeah.
So that's super important in the way that the fact that we're 100% focused on the insurance domain means an improved system with far less effort and expense than if you had to go out and try and, license that or build it yourself, and clients can leverage that knowledge base and understanding to power their virtual assistants much faster and cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Real quick question. I've been on your online chatbot on one of your clients. Okay. but I'm not aware if you have a voice bot.
Right.
Yes.
So to answer that question, we've done Google Home and Alexa as integration. So we're using those as speech to text translators. So you say something because they're great at canceling out noise and accents and all of that.
Right.
So it converts the speech to text, and then that text hits our core back-end system and returns back an answer. And then that same smart home device will take the text and
fascinating.
Back.
Okay, right. Okay, so fascinating use of technologies.
Yeah, but we are building out the capabilities where you described that example earlier in the call was calling a number,
uh-huh.
and actually speaking with a automated virtual assistant,
right?
Essentially, a smarter IVR. Where you can have a conversation.
And I think at this point, we always know that we're in conversation with a bot, if it's a bot, right?
Not
online. I get it. Online, sometimes it just, who knows? But voice?
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw that Google Duplex video where they were, and if you haven't, I would recommend you watch it because it just blows your mind. But they actually had a robot make a call for a reservation at a restaurant, and they made it sound so human-like. And there was a bit of press, negative and positive, but, you know, hey, what are the ethics around this? Should you always state that it is a machine? And I think you should. That's our personal opinion.
Okay.
But the voice sounded so real, and it had and these pitches and pauses that you thought, which one was the human? Which one was the machine? So that technology is coming.
What's that called? What's that video?
Google Duplex. Yeah, I think if you just Google Duplex, we did a demo. This was last year, and it's pretty interesting, pretty fascinating to see how human-like it's becoming. But yes, I always recommend.
So you're gonna have to face that one squarely in the future. But right now, your MO is full transparency, right?
For sure, because our system can't. I mean, you go and start talking about the weather or what was the Super Bowl score? Like, it's not going to know that. It's trained to.
Yeah, right. Ask about the weather. What does it say? I can't help you with that, but let me transfer you to an agent.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's like, I'm here to help you. You're coming here to get help with a specific question or a task or a quote or, and so that's what it's designed to do. We're not trying to build general conversational entertainment type systems, specific insurance, right? So to answer your question, like, the voice is super important because as we build these platforms, you want to have those channels learn from each other, right?
Right.
Conversations in one channel can train and improve the models on the other channel.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, these systems start to move apart, right? You've got one system here and you've got another system there. It's important that it's an unified channel.
So,
voice is coming soon. Integration into your numbers, but we're already in Google Home, Alexa, website chat, Facebook Messenger, text message. Those are the core channels that work.
So how are your most engaged clients using the bot?
So our first product was focusing on questions and answers. Typical service request and sales. That's the consumer-facing version to assist customers the minute they land on their website.
Mm-hmm.
They're not greeted with a static web form. They're greeted with an interactive, conversational experience where they can ask questions, they can get quotes, they can find out, where do I go for this, what do I do for this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been our core product that has been in the market for just under 3 years. But we've started to build out... Okay, let's phrase it this way. We've started to get more and more requests from our agencies saying, this is fantastic technology. Why can't we have and leverage something like this for internal teams? Why can't we provide the technology for our team members to get quick information so that they can serve customers and clients better and faster?
Give me an example of that.
Billing questions of different carriers and insurers that they work with.
So let's say a customer called and I didn't have the answer. I could check with our bot really quickly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A workplace assistant for under will you write? Which carrier is going to write 3 lines of home insurance on someone who's got 3 lines of credit?
Or
what is your billing policy? What is your NFS? Policies for
yeah. So rather than great question. Let me get back to you about that.
Right.
And then trading phone calls. It's hang on just a moment. Let me ask my bot.
Yeah, right? and you're searching through multiple portals, and you're control F on PDFs and trying to look for folders and files to get the information you need. Whereas could you have an assistant that's there to assist your team members so that they're able to provide a faster, quicker response from your knowledge base? So we're essentially conversationalizing your internal logic and knowledge bases to better drive ultimately a better customer experience, but provide the tools for your team to be on the same page, same answers, giving them the tools they need to succeed.
Another question, if you've got the data on this, are you discovering, is the bot actually able to resolve some customer questions completely on its own or gather information that then needs to be passed on to an agent?
So for some use cases, upwards of 50% of inquiries it's able to handle.
Wow, okay.
That does depend on the verticals and the use cases.
Yeah,
but,
all right.
For in certain areas, we're able to do full integrated quoting where we can actually pull the rates from the carriers and you can go through the process and get a rate and then speak with an agent to find it.
Right. You've got some integrations like that, right?
Exactly.
With some agency management systems or raters?
Comparative raters. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Comparative raters. A lot of questions like who do I contact for this or where do I go to pay this bill or I need, you know, who's your provider with? Here's a link to go do it. So we're able to resolve a lot of customer inquiries that are common and consistent and I would say even, you know, maybe low value for your agents to your customers.
Yeah.
And that's really the value, again, freeing up your agents to do things of higher value.
So let's look at the future. So in the next 3 years, and I know like making predictions about the future can be a fool's game, and where technology is involved, it's often multiplied as a fool's game. But nonetheless, nobody's going to hold you accountable to this. Where do you think these technologies and this technology is going in the next three or so years?
Well, for us specifically for ProNavigator, it's building out more functionality in that voice world. Because I think that's going to continue to be a channel
right.
that is widely used. A very famous AI researcher in the field said, you know, if you think about anything that you can think of as a human that you process in like a second or 2 seconds,
right?
And you start to put some of those processes together, so 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here, that's a very good use case of what a machine could do. And when you look at your daily life and you look at your work life and you start to think of there's so many of those things that I think about in a second or two and I start to link them together, that becomes a process that maybe a machine could do and start to automate and start to, you know, free up more of my time. So, I mean, you've got things like robotic process automation, which they call RPA, or natural language processing on the consumer-facing side. But that's I think, the world we live in where we can just work. We have these workplace assistants to take care of a lot of these menial tasks. We've got automation on chat and voice, and we have much more time on our hands for risk and advice and relationships. And so for us, for ProNavigator, it's really in that voice world and building out more functionality in the workplace for assisting your team members.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I mean, things are moving fairly quickly, right? In the insurance industry, there's a lot of things that are changing, a lot of things that aren't changing.
A
connected world where these systems are able to talk to each other and these systems are able to communicate and data can pass from one place to another seamlessly without me having to manually do double entry and re-enter here, right? So that, to me, that's 3 years from now, right? Carriers
right.
are opening up their APIs.
Well, Well, do you think at some point, you know, let's say I called my agent or chatted online and I only spoke with the bot. Do you think at some point that like the essence of that conversation or my request might get uploaded into my file in the agency management system? Is that a future possibility?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that's stopping us today is the APIs.
Somehow I'd have to be identified, right?
Sure, but you can authenticate. Like, so with Alexa and Google Home, we already know a lot of things from when you set up your account.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what they know.
Well, just, like, they don't give access to everyone, but like, yeah. We can already know your location, your name. So what we say is, like,
okay,
when you're talking to Alexa, we'll say, "Are we? Can we pull your information from your device to know who you are?" And the person can say yes or no. And if they say yes, then we can pull a few pieces of information: name, location, phone number. And then we may want to request one or two more pieces of information to authenticate who you are.
No kidding.
But you have an account that you set up when you set up your Alexa and Google Home. And if you authorize it, then you're able to pull some of that information.
That's really interesting. Okay. So,
But I mean, if you think about this, like, you take a thing like, what is the status of my claim? It sounds like such a simple request, but it goes all the way through not just your agents, your carrier, but then even the body repair shop. It's their job to make sure that it's updated accurately and on time so that it can go through the entire system.
Okay, got
it. So when you think about all these places where there's a human touch or a manual entry, why couldn't that be automated? You know, like, why couldn't the body shop have an Alexa device in their workshop and they just say vehicle number, da-da-da-da-da, status is in repair.
Right.
And that goes right through the system all the way out, and a text message goes out to the customer telling them exactly what the status is of their vehicle in real time. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, so that that to me is what the future looks like in 3 to 5 years, is the ability for these systems to talk to each other,
right,
and the ability for us to be able to update information in real time. Because I do not want to spend another hour and 35 minutes on a call.
I suspect you don't. So one last question before I ask you how people can find out more about you and ProNavigator. So given what you said, like you said yourself something about the speed of change. So given that, with all the change that's happening in the industry and the world right now, if you were going to issue an exhortation, a message to the independent agency force, what would you exhort them to do?
Well, and I think it's nothing that they haven't heard before.
Okay, but you know, they may have heard it 101 times on this podcast, but still going to keep saying it.
In that world where customers have all the choice, in that world where I get this on-demand experience from every other industry, you know, if a competitor offers that same service, the same advice, you know, how are you going to remain relevant?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way we see ourselves is, you're the heroes, you're out competing in this world as agency owners. We're just here to give you the tools that you need to compete in this new world, right?
Very good.
You know, we're like, I guess, Obi-Wan Kenobi and you're Luke Skywalker. You're the heroes, right? You're going out and trying to figure out how to run your business and be able to do that in the most efficient way, and we're just here to give you the tools you need to go out and succeed. So change is not coming, it's here. The landscape has changed, the competitive landscape, the customer demand and expectations have changed and are here. You know, the millennials have grown up and they're the ones that are buying, and they're used to this world now.
Yeah.
So it's not us. There's a lot of insurtechs, there's a lot of technology out there that you could build or buy or use or partner with to provide that experience.
Got it.
And listening to podcasts like these and attending events, like that's a great way to learn and know what's out there, and learn from other agents that are doing this.
That are doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Joseph, if anybody listening wants to find out more about the company, ProNavigator, or somehow wants to, you know, make contact with you or the company, how do you want them to do that?
So our website's the best place, pronavigator.ai, and that's one word, pro, ProNavigator.
Now, I have a question for you. If they got on ProNavigator.ai, do you think, are they going to encounter a bot?
So this is a great question that I love to ask because it's a perfect place.
And maybe the only bot you've got is trained to answer insurance questions.
And that's exactly my point, because it's taken us years of development to build a version for insurance. And people always ask us, well, why isn't there a bot to help sell your product? And like, we could, but we'd rather spend the time building out insurance-specific ones instead of selling a software. So we actually, I mean, we've had a live chat up there for a while, and the new site has just gone up, so we're yet to put the new live chat up there as well. But pronavigate.ai is the best place to contact us.
Very good.
And you know, our team would reach out, or you can find me on LinkedIn and reach out to me as
yeah,
well.
Got it. All righty. Joseph, this has been illuminating and fun. I really, really appreciate you spending time.
Well, thanks, Michael. You've been a great host and enjoyed the conversation, and I look forward to keeping in touch and maybe coming on in the future.
Love to. All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.